Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Yes, hello there. And that wasn't me making sort of sounds, that was Buddy making sounds in the background.
Buddy the dog, who is always here, but rarely makes noise.
The perfect film triumvirate. Is that the right word?
Yeah, I think so.
Trio. Yeah. What's the difference between trio and triumvirate?
Well,
triumvirate more for powers.
I think it's the
axis of evil.
A triumvirate. I think it's from ancient Rome. The triumvirate. It's a three-pronged governing system of some kind.
So you wouldn't go and see. I'm going to go and watch. The triumvirate of flautists.
Possibly not. The triumvirate tenors.
That's a good one, isn't it? I should have just come somewhere with T. Triumvirate tubers. We can do this, say, word begin with T.
I think that's the case. I might be wrong. But anyway, we're not here to talk about language specifically. We're here to talk about films. Before we start doing so, we should mention that we are sponsored by Her Film Project, who are an organisation that help promote diversity in films. So if you would like to check them out, see what they're up
Black
to.
Black or white, yellow or poor, if you don't fit in, go knocking at their door.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll approve of such sentiments, but yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
You've got something wrong with your arse.
What is it with you and bums?
Give them a call and they will help.
Yeah, what? You love bums, don't you?
Yeah, love them.
All right. Yes, but we are sponsored by Her Film Project. Check out their website, herfilmproject.com, and follow Her Film Project on Twitter. Please, please do. Now, films, Marek, specifically. You've been to the cinema this week.
Yes, I went to see The Big Sick.
What is this?
It is a comedy romance by a comedian called Camille Najani, who is originally from Pakistan, and he moved to America. And he lives with his Pakistani family in America, and they want to, and he's a comedian, and they want to set him up and get him married, an arranged marriage, but he sort of finds love elsewhere, and that goes, and then this is all in the trailer.
Right.
The girl that he sort of finishes with, but quite liked, he goes to see in hospital, and she goes into a coma, and he sort of has to deal with her parents.
Right.
There's a sort of based on a true story.
Okay, he's playing himself as well, is he, or someone
with
his own?
Yeah, it's a true story. Yeah, and right.
It's Zoe Kazan as well, isn't it? Who was Ruby Sparks in Ruby Sparks?
Oh, was she?
Yes.
Well, she's very
noticed.
Well, this has been marketed as the funniest film of the year, and I've seen reviews of this film.
Okay.
And I should say that it's about a comedian, and it's a lot of stuff about the comedy circuit. And if you don't know, I've stopped doing stand-up, but I did it for 7 or 8 years, and I know it very well.
Yeah.
What it's like being backstage, as do you. My problem with, first of all, is when people say it's the funniest film of the year, this is not a funny film.
Right.
Is at no point, about 2 or 3 times I chuckled at this film. It's not a hilarious film. I hate the fact, I've reviewed it, people saying, a couple of reviews saying, it's at every scene's laugh out loud funny. If you think that, you're an arsehole. It's not funny. It's a weird, the comedy bits in this film I really hated. in the same way as some bits of Woody Allen people spunk over, and they've just when Woody's just doing their sort of talking business, you know, lots of American talking, which is sort of quite some sort of American style of comedy, people just talking and being quiet, just chatting about things. I'm chatting about things. Hey, that's it. This is the sort of thing I'm doing, which I don't find funny at all.
No.
In any, it really gets on my nerves. There's a in the first office, there's a lot of this sort of just chatting backstage and comedians chatting, and Kumail Nanjiani is fine in it. I mean, he's not the greatest of actors, and there's a lot of bits of him backstage doing with comedy gigs with two other comedians, A.D. Bryant, I don't know if she's a comedian or not, and Bo Burnham.
Oh yeah.
And another Kurt Brunola, who's the other comedian there. And A.D. Bryant and Bo Burnham, as the other two comedians, are so smug and so awful, particularly Bo Burnham, who has some success over here at the Edinburgh Festival.
But he's playing someone else in this.
He's playing someone else in it, but they're so unlikable. Right. And when they talk about comedy, for me personally, brought back all the nightmares of having to listen to comics talk about comedy on car journeys and backstage and talking about their sets. And I find it so narcissistic and navel-gazing that I absolutely... It's everything I hated about the comedy scene,
right,
and why I don't want to be in it. So when I saw them doing it, I just thought, oh, shut up. I really hate you. I want to punch all your faces in until all my knuckles are broken.
Are you supposed to like them? Is that a failure of the film?
I think so, yes. I think it is a failure of the film. And the fact is, they do bits of their sets... And they're supposed to be quite good comedians. Like Bo Burnham's a successful comedian, and the problem is that I didn't find his stuff funny, or A.D. Bryant's stuff funny, or Kumail Nanjiani's stuff funny, and Kurt Brunola, who's supposed to be the shit comedian, he's not getting anywhere. His jokes were the best jokes by a long way. Anyway, that is where this film fails, I think. When this film gets good, and Zoe Kazan is very good as his girlfriend, very likeable. The love story in this film, which my friend Beth said about as well, she said she thought that was good. That is the saving grace of this film. It's not a comedy. It's quite a good love story, primarily because of Zoe Kazan's parents, played by Holly Hunter and Ray Romano, are both brilliant.
I have never really liked Ray Romano's comedy. Like, Everybody Loves Raymond. Well,
I've watched a couple of bits and I thought,
When he plays himself in things, I do find him very funny. I'm trying to recall what it is I've seen him play himself in now.
It may have been in
Louis, actually.
I think
he's been in that.
I've never seen him other than in a couple of half episodes of Everybody Loves Raymond, which is probably quite big in the States, but I'm no interest in.
You haven't mentioned Adil Akhtar either, who I think is fantastic. He's an incredibly funny guy. I don't know if he's got much to do in this.
I felt as though the family, Kumail Nanjiani's family, were a bit like watching Goodness Gracious Me,
really?
Or Home with the Kumars.
So it's just got no sort of lightness of touch to it.
Bland sort of, oh, we want you to marry us, you must do that. It just feels as though it's just really two-dimensional characters.
Because Adil Akhtar not only is, I think, brilliant in Four Lions, we know him from, but he's, you know, he's a good actor as well when he's not doing comedy, like in... what was that? That weird channel for Utopia.
Yeah.
And then in Murdered by My Father. But then he's in a small film of a friend of mine that Tom Bell is in, actually, called Convenience.
Oh, yeah.
And he's very funny in that as well.
Yeah, I just think his character's boring.
Yeah.
The bits... I didn't know it was Ray... I didn't really know it was Ray Romano until afterwards. I thought I'd look at who... that ignorant of everybody loves Raymond. Yeah. But they were just excellent, I think. And the actual the bits when it got interesting, talking about relationships and their own problems, was really good. I mean, it's 2 hours long, which is too long
for a rom-com. Yeah,
and I would just cut all that crap about them in the comedy club wanting to go to the Montreal Festival and their careers, because it's really unlikable. You really dislike the characters. It's like watching really smug comics who are really just all about, well, I suppose you have to be about your careers, but everything about the comedy scene I disliked.
But when everybody in the room is nervous about their own careers or whatever, what possesses you to talk about just yours? I mean, it's very... It's narcissistic.
But they're all talking about their careers. Like, you've got to get on this thing, you've got to get on this bit. And you think, well, just... That's not what happens backstage at comedy clubs.
No.
When you're there, like, oh, that bloke's a prick, I've got to go on. Oh, I don't want to go on. And they're all talking about crushing it and killing it.
Oh.
Anyone who says they crushed it or killed it, you just think you're a knob.
Yes, complete prick, yeah. Oh, God.
And they're not really nervous. They're sort of quite... And the comedy club just feels... really like an odd staged comedy club of everyone's going, yeah, let's listen to this, and the heckling scenes are just a bit, it just felt as though it was a very sanitised, I don't know if all the clubs are like that in America, maybe they are, but a very sort of sanitised weird person who had never been to a comedy club trying to make out that's what it's like, really polished and strange.
Yeah,
and it really got my goat, but this was saved by their performances. But to say, it just annoys me, it's not, I don't know who would find this film hilarious or a comedy. I think it's a rom-com, but everyone's going mental about it.
Yeah, it's been reviewed very well, hasn't it? But how many Merricks would you give it?
7.
Oh, so you do quite think high. It's good.
I think it's good, but that's mainly for Zoe Kazan, Holly Hunter and Ray Romano, who are all excellent in it. I just thought Camille Nanjiani's eyebrows was just too close together.
Well, that's fair. That is fair.
Well, he's obviously shaved the middle bit of his eyebrow.
Right.
And if you're going to shave the middle bit, just shave it a bit more. Do you know what I mean? Just it's just too... I found myself getting obsessed with this weird sort of thin bit. I think you've obviously cut... It's obviously a monobrow, you've done that.
Yeah.
But just do it so there's a sort of a normal space there rather than just massive one eyebrow.
It's a fair criticism, really.
Oh, just go over monobrow, it's fine, but don't do the half. And he was just a little bit... Sometimes I thought, is he wearing mascara? Probably was.
Well, not in HD, surely.
4K, probably.
4K. I mean, mascara would be very visible in 4K, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But there, I was in... There were about 6 of the people in the cinema watching this. And no one was... You know, the bits that were supposed to be funny, there wasn't any laughter.
Right, right.
So people say... The reviews say hilarious is bullshit.
Okay. All right. Well, that's The Big Sick. Why is it called The Big Sick?
Because she gets very ill.
Oh, okay. All right. Fine. I think it's time for this. This is from Dominic Fackerty, and he says, "Dear David and Marek, you often mention streaming services and how to find the best films from the hundreds on offer. For the last few months, I've been using a subscription service called Mubi. At first, it sounds like a right con because they only have 30 films to choose from, but one film leaves and another film arrives at midnight each day. They show a great selection of films and often concentrate on older and foreign films. At the moment, there are films from France, Germany, Sweden, Romania, Japan, Canada, Taiwan, Italy, Iraq, and Portugal on offer. They currently have a free month's trial, so well worth checking it out. Keep watching the old foreign films, Dom. P.S. Percy Pantsdown sounds like he could definitely be a henchman of the Bumming Man. Maybe a hint to a future extended Bumming Man universe. Any ideas for her characters in the franchise? For her characters in the franchise? More, presumably, he means...
This is a reference to when I was talking about Percy Pants Down a few weeks ago.
That's right.
A guy goes and pulls people's pants down with one go.
That's right. So, it was a villain to fight Peter Parker.
Good, wasn't he? He's good.
Yeah. Mubi, though. Have you heard of this service before?
No.
I'm going to see if it is on Just Watch.
Using that, which I think is very good.
It is good, isn't it? Just Watch is a website. Yes, Mubi is on this. Just Watch is a website and app that tells you when new things get added to streaming services. So if you're constantly finding yourself lost and a bit confused in Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever, then have a look because it's now very good. Yes, Mubi is on there, and it does seem to be, for people who like foreign films, they seem to add one every day.
Good little foreign muck on that. If you like all that business, mate, you want to go watch some movies. I watch ITV myself.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it, ITV? It's so good. So good. Yes. Well, I'll have a look at Mubi. It does look interesting. So I'm just getting distracted looking at an app and lots of films.
I'll just read this. That's all you're doing.
Yeah,
that.
Do it.
Here's from Adam Taylor. Netflix recommendations. Does what it says on the tin. Dear David, Marek and Buddy, I thought I'd just email in with a couple of quick Netflix recommendations I've watched this week, both written and directed by Patrick Bryce. Creep and The Overnight. Creep is a found footage horror, it's not to be confused with the 2004 British horror one, found footage horror about a man hired to film a dying man for a day as a video for his unborn child. It quickly becomes apparent that all is not as it seems. I really enjoyed Creep. It completely justifies its main conceit. It's unexpectedly and often disturbingly funny, and in the central character, Joseph, who is brilliantly played by Mark Duplass, is a refreshing character for a horror film. But the film does lag slightly towards the end, but despite being well under 90 minutes, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, and nonetheless, I'll give it 8 Adams. The Overnight, also by Patrick Bryce, is about a couple and their son staying overnight at a house for a couple they've just met, having recently moved into Los Angeles. The film follows the events of one night. While Creep is a character study masquerading as a horror film, The Overnight is similarly difficult to pin down, and all the better for it. It's essentially a comedy drama, but describing it as that feels like selling it short. It benefits from all four leads being excellent, but particularly Jason Schwartzman as Kurt. Again, like Creep, it is sympathetic to all of its characters. It shows them as flawed, but never feels like it's passing judgment on them. And it is in turn funny, strange and touching. Really refreshing, and I give it a very high 8, maybe 9 Adams. I really think David in particular would enjoy both these films. Being the refreshing sub-90 minute little indie oddities they are, I guess the recommendations were not so quick at all. Keep watching the films. Adam from Manchester.
Okay. Well, The Overnight and Creep by Patrick Bryce. Yes, these have not come to my attention before, so I'll add them to the list. Thank you for those. Here's another letter. Hi, David, Marek, Buddy and the prick dog next door. Does Marek have any plans to further expand the Bubbing Man cinematic universe? Everyone's into this now.
This must be not. It's what happens is I talk about Bombing Man, people email in, and then we end up reading them about 5 weeks later, so it seems quite an odd lapse.
Peter Pantsdown, clearly a fan favourite.
It's Percy Pantsdown, wasn't it?
Well, he's put Peter, it was Percy Pantsdown. Seems like a great addition, and the potential for mischief between him and the Bombing Man is a very exciting prospect. Regards, your friend, Semolina Crumpet Cake.
Who else can we have in Bombing Man?
Well, the thing is, though, these franchises have a tendency to just get bloated, don't they, with too many characters. I don't know if you've seen the poster for Infinity War, the Marvel film, but it will fill you with such rage with the sheer number of characters on the poster that they have to include, because they've promised that all of their films are going to collide.
There's only Bowie Man, Percy Pantsdown.
At the moment.
What about Dennis Dixoft?
Dick Soft?
Yeah.
What's he do?
We can't ever get a boner.
He can't.
So you know he's not... He's the only person who you know is not the Bombing Man.
Interesting. So he gets hired to track him down because they know he's not...
He's the only one you can trust.
Derek Dick Soft.
Dennis Dick Soft.
Dennis, sorry. Okay, yeah.
I don't know about that. It might be just too...
That's in the planning stage.
It might be a bit too on the nose.
It's a bit on the nose. Dennis Dixoft.
He's from Tom Saunders, great multiple player. Primer. Hey, in a bid to fix your letter drought, this is from several weeks ago now, let me recommend a film which is actually good this time. Primer. Primer is a low budget sci-fi film about two entrepreneur engineers who accidentally create a time machine. It's great and baffling and works so well because the rules of their time travel machine are so tight. The scope is extremely small and the timeline is so complicated that means there's space for nerds to pour over it, and as such, it's earned cult status. You should defo give it a watch. It's brill. Tom. Well, Tom, we watched this ages ago if you bothered to listen to the podcast.
And we bring it up quite often. In fact, we brought it up only about 4 weeks ago in relation to a film called Antimatter. Yes, thank you for that. It's nice to hear more people have watched these obscure films as well, which is good. Check out Primer if you haven't already and you like to be a bit challenged by your films. You alright, Marek?
I'm just trying to see where we are in the films. Okay, well, that's it. We'll gradually get... I think we're up to about the 22nd of July, so...
Okay.
In terms of letters, so we will get to your messages.
Because what happens, you see, is we request letters because we're running a bit dry, then everyone writes in, so it takes us quite a few weeks to get through them and they become more and more out of date. So we'll get to you if we haven't already. Now, I've seen a film as well this week. It's a film that's just become available on streaming services, as we say more and more often these days. But it did come out this year. I'm not sure it did particularly well, but it looked at least interesting. The trailer made it look interesting. This is a film called Life. Now, Life is a film directed by Daniel Espinosa, and
he sounds familiar.
He did Safe House with Denzel Washington and a film called Child 44.
I read the book of that film.
But this is set on the Mir International Space Station and is about them receiving a probe that has returned from Mars with samples, and they discover microbial extraterrestrial life.
Someone gets possessed by something, I reckon.
Well, not possessed, but certainly they, against better judgment, start to do tests on this microbial life because they want to. They're so excited at finding extraterrestrial life that they start to do stuff, and it does not go well for them. So this stars an international cast, as you'd expect from the International Space Station. So there are two Americans on board, played by Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds, and then there's a Brit played by Rebecca Ferguson, who is in more and more things at the moment. She was in Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and The Girl on the Train, but she's one of these who's slowly becoming ubiquitous. But then it's also got Hiroyuki Sanada in it, playing the Japanese astronaut, and an actor called Arion Bakare, who is
a really good cast,
playing a
then.
Brit. It's a good cast. It is an excellent cast. Okay, so this is a monster movie. Basically, it's a creature feature about a supernatural entity that is able to adapt and grow, and but needs to consume in order to do so. And the parallels with Alien are obvious from the very beginning. Now, this... But it isn't like Alien because it's set in a world with more realistic physics, so they are in a weightless environment, like gravity, orbiting the Earth, like gravity, and they are able to represent this monster with CGI these days instead of blokes in costume. So, if you crossed gravity with Alien, you get everything in this film.
Okay.
So it's a brilliantly made film. It's tense. The horror bits are good. The characters could be a bit better drawn. They're a bit dull. They've done that thing of just like, each one's got their own thing, but mostly what they are is the country they're from.
Well, they do that awful bit where they all sitting around and then they all get introduced and do the one line.
Having dinner around the table like they do in Alien. Yeah. And it's excellently made, this. It's a good monster, it's tense, it's a lot of fun. The problem with it is we have seen everything before because it's just a remake. It's a remake of Alien. There is nothing different about this film. And at some point in the development process of movies, you've got to go, I've not seen that before. Yes, let's make this. Because we've seen everything in this before. It's just remaking it with the technology we now have available to us.
Mm.
So
it sounded really good from the actual...
It's not like Alien, in that Alien's whole preamble is them discovering the planet, going down, finding the eggs, and it slowly builds. This one, the first 2 minutes, starts with them getting the sample and bringing it on board, and it starts from there onwards.
Okay.
So That's different, but in terms of trapped on a ship with a monster, it's exactly the same. So if you enjoy this genre and you'll happily watch anything with it, this is a good example of it. It's well directed, it's well performed, but I was left cold because they add nothing new to this already well trod.
So if this had come out in 1979 when Aliens came out, would it have been as big as Alien?
No, because they simply couldn't have done the technology. They couldn't have done the weightlessness. They couldn't have done the monster.
No, but it's still not. If you compare them released at the same time in some sort of world, Alien was to be better. But Alien Monster's brilliant, isn't it? And
the monster's brilliant. Alien, the art direction is more interesting. And the characters are better.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a subtle art because many people would argue, you know, watching Alien, that the characters aren't that bold or varied from one another, but that simply isn't true. You know, they are very memorable characters.
Yeah.
All of them, in fact.
Yeah, well, that's one of the great successes of Alien, is they managed to do the whole hierarchy in that ship, and everyone's different, and they're sort of emblazoned on your brain, the difference in all that.
Whereas in this, Ryan Reynolds is playing Ryan Reynolds, which is enjoyable to watch and stands out as the most interesting character, because at least he has a bold front foot forward personality, whereas the others are all just a little bit boring with an accent. They're with their little things, but there's nothing particularly interesting. But it's well made, but not new. And so I'd struggle to say how many I'd give it. I did rate it on my app so that I've remembered I've watched it. I have given it 7. It might have dropped to 6 since I watched
it. Oh, that's harder than I thought. It had a budget of £58 million.
Really? Well, yeah. Probably for all the effects you'd have to.
And it grossed 30 million, so that's quite a big...
It's quite a failure.
There's arsehole dogs everywhere, aren't there, buddy?
Yes.
But he doesn't like it at all. It's everyone... The problem is what my mum said, that everyone in this, they all look like chiselled film stars.
Yes, they've not gone with... Well, as they're
Alien,
trying to be realistic...
No one is chiselled in that.
As they're trying to be realistic, though, with this, they all have to be international astronauts. So they're all in peak physical condition, and they're all nerds, basically. They're all mathematicians or engineers or whatever. And so they all end up being quite straight... down, lacking in personality, basically.
If you do maths, you've got no personality.
No, what I'm saying is when an actor who gave up maths when they were 16 tries to play a mathematician, they tend to go a bit straight, bit nerdy, bit tense, rather than just goes, well, a mathematician could be anyone.
Stupid actors.
Yeah. But they're all just a bit sort of stuffed shirts.
I hate actors.
Do you? You are one.
No, I'm not.
All right, okay. Okay. Well, that's life. If you enjoy this genre, I would check it out.
That's life.
It's diverting. That's life. That's what other people say. Yes, it's a good monster. It's a well directed film.
It sounds like something you just watch on Netflix, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Really?
If it's on and it's free, I would. And you like horror, I'd check it out because it is quite fun. It's certainly, you know, expertly done. But I wouldn't bother if you want something a bit different.
If you've only got 20 days to live...
Don't bother watching.
If you've got 200...
Maybe.
2,000?
Maybe again.
200,000?
Maybe. Like, it's never going to be definitely.
Well, immortal?
Yeah, if you're immortal, maybe don't bother.
Wow. Not even if you're immortal.
Well...
If you are immortal, please write in and tell us your secret.
Yeah, why not? Go to filmfandango.com and fill out the form. If you've seen a film that you'd like to share with everybody specifically, especially one that we haven't covered already or may not know about, filmfandango.com and click on the contact form. Also, we do all of this for free. So if you'd like to donate towards our running costs because you've been enjoying the podcast in the past, then again, filmfandango.com and click the donate button.
Thank you to the people... that have, and to the very kind few people who do regular
subscription payments. Yeah, thank you very much. We know your names.
We think about you
every day. We'll be back next week.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.